Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. This is your host, Angela Schroeder. Whether you're joining us live on Turfs Up Radio, on Facebook, or listening by recording, we're glad you're here and so excited to have Spencer with us this week. Welcome, Spencer.
Hey, Angela. So excited to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity reaching out. So I'm excited. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to dive in. I've met Spencer in this last year and just love your smile and energy. They're contagious. And so super excited to share you with the audience and share this hour together. So as we dive in, instead of me doing a big introduction, I'm going to have you tell the audience a little bit about you.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, appreciate all those nice words. It's pretty awesome. Like you said, my name is Spencer Harden. I'm out of Louisville, Kentucky. I own a first response pressure washing company, and I own a Christmas light installation company called Louisville Illumination. I was a fireman for about 10 years. Whenever I first started becoming a fireman, with the 24-48 schedule, it allowed us a lot of time off on our off day. So it kind of brought the idea of starting a business, just something to do on my off days. In the mix of me becoming a fireman, I had bought a house, and I had my dad had a pressure washer, and I was able to get out there and wash it. And I kind of, threw the idea around of saying, we can probably do this. A buddy of mine who is now my business partner in Louisville Illumination, Steve Rock, he owns a window cleaning company. But 6 years ago, he had a company doing pressure washing and pond cleaning and lawns, and he was kind of doing all kinds of stuff. And I kind of went to him. I didn't really know him back then, but I kind of went to him and asked him a little bit about pressure washing. And he kind of told me, things that he was doing. And so he kind of helped me kind of get started and as far as, what to use and how to do it. So I kind of took off from there. And then him and I actually sat down at a restaurant one morning when we were like, hey, I was like, hey, man, I'm really wanting to start this. Do you want to try to start something together? And, we had the talk and everything was good. And then just a little bit later, he got an opportunity to purchase a window cleaning company. So him and I, from the get-go, from six years, I think it was like April or March or April of 2018. Him and I, we were kind of bouncing off each other. We both started businesses at the exact same time. He did the window cleaning, I did the pressure washing, and we just kind of built it. And, we were able to use the firehouse as like that steady income, to be able to build it, necessarily the business. And instead of just putting more money into our pockets, we both kind of, built the businesses. So, over the 6 years at the firehouse, we just kind of kept turning wheels, building the business for me, just a one pressure washer in the back of my truck, to now having two commercial trailers and four technicians and an office assistant, which Janine through Angela there, which is incredible. You have an amazing company thing going on there with the virtual assistants. So shout out to you and Janine. I think she's watching. She told me she's going to be watching today. So a little bit about me. And I was in the fire service for close to 10 years up until this past year. I got sick back in January with an autoimmune disease, and it kind of wrecked my world a little bit, kind of turned it upside down. It was called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which I know, Angela, you're familiar with the story. But for everyone out there, I was I lost my ability to walk, talk, eat, and everything. And there was just kind of a pretty scary moment there in my life. So it kind of it kind of put things in perspective for me. And it actually, to be honest, I'd be a liar if I wasn't, prior to me getting sick in the firehouse, there was always conversations around the firehouse and people saying, you're just, when are you going to do this full time? And, I never really had a timeline, I truly enjoyed the fire service. I loved every part of it. I loved my guys. I loved my crew. But, God had other plans. I lost my ability to walk, and honestly, I was off. I'm still off, but back in July, I was let go from the fire service. I was kind of bitter there for a minute, but God's got bigger plans, and I need to be focused on the business side of things. Steve and I actually started the Christmas light installation business last year. It was our first year, and so that kind of allowed us to kind of go full time into it. So I now handle all the sales for my pressure washing company, and I'm now in a sales role for our Christmas lights. So just kind of building those systems, and it's been really cool to kind of see, because we've been able to put people in place and to really scale the company. So super exciting, and I'm just grateful for every day, and grateful for opportunities that come my way, and grateful for this opportunity to share my story. So just appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely. So many things I want to dive into about that.
Of
Like I
course.
said, I will reiterate, I love your positive energy, positive outlook, and it just comes out and is always contagious. So you mentioned a
Appreciate
little bit about your VA. We will dive into that
it.
later too, but first into your story of it is great that you did have the opportunity to, start a business and, make that decision, but kind of still have the safety net of being able to, do that gradually, and how fun it is that you got to do it alongside someone, that you and Steve got to, bounce it off each other, be in the firehouse together. And, we talk a lot about the power of your tribe and, who's in those situations with you? Because when you're starting a business, so many other people don't understand you. Probably most of the people at the firehouse didn't understand you. Family, friends are like, why would you be taking this big risks? And the conversations and the things that you're thinking, other relationships aren't necessarily a safe place to share those. And you got to have, somebody right there with you that you could be having the conversations, the fearful moments, the think big. Right there with you. So share a little bit more. I loved getting to see. So JC and I were just in Louisville for a trip and got to have dinner with Spencer and Steve, which was awesome.
Of
To get
course.
your space and just to see you guys, have your own strengths and then work so well together. So talk a little bit about that. What that has been like to do that and build it together for 6 years, and what it's like to be in business alongside someone and then now be able to come together.
Yeah, absolutely. So from the very beginning, Steve and I, we just from our moral compass, like our values, our dreams, like everything. I mean, because to be honest with you, Steve and I, like we both we came from we didn't come from like a lot of money, like family wise, so we both came up a different way. So it was this really cool rip from the very beginning. Both of our mindsets were in the right place. We wanted to build something to make a difference from the very beginning. It wasn't necessarily like, oh man, let's get rich, like let's build this big thing. Like we literally wanted to change lives. From the pressure washing business, whenever we first started to having our first employee and just going up, it was always really cool. Like it wasn't about, oh man, like we're making a bunch of money. Like no, it's like the impact that we're being able to make by our guys saying like, hey, I get to go on an extra vacation, or hey, I just bought this house, or I bought this car, I bought this boat. I took this trip with my family. That's always been our core. Like in our core is just overall, like what can we do to help other people along in life, and just and like Steve. I can't remember the exact amount of years, but I think like the first year after we started our business, like he started this thing for Thanksgiving. He was like, man, he's like, I just want to change like one family's life. And he did this thing, and like I mean, he just kind of took off with it. And I think we're he's over like 1,000 families fed on Thanksgiving, because every year like we would just show up and we would just grow and just provide meals for people on Thanksgiving. And Steve was the head of that. And and we just had the same like heart, when it comes to everything from taking care of our guys, and then from the business standpoint, like Kristen, which you met Kristen, Steve's wife. Like Steve and I, like we are like wild cards when it comes to business. We're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's risk this. Let's risk that. But we always make it work. I mean, it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy. Like initially, like hey, we're gonna. I'm gonna go spend $30,000 on another pressure washing trailer, or from going from one single trailer or one single pressure washer in the back of my truck to buying outfitting a completely rigged that was like 20 something thousand, and then the next year buying a whole new one. And then I was like, okay, you know, and not really knowing, like, you know, I've had the people, but I was like, hey, build it and they'll come, you know. So I built it, put people in it, and then boom, grew it. You know, and this has just been super cool. Because, you know, Steve and I, like, Steve's like one of my best friends. We've been through hell and back together, from business to even in the firehouse. We've seen some of the worst, like, stuff that, you know, you can think of. And we've been there together. We've been there to pick each other up. You know, losses in family, just anything. Like, we've just been there. So him and I mean, we're just like yin and yang. And we just work. We believe in each other. We can have those hard conversations. So it's truly important, like you said, to have that person, because you know, because I mean, there's a lot of people, like, inside of, like, outside of business, or like inside of your family or your friend group, you know, that they don't understand it. They're like, man, you're crazy. Like, why are you doing this? Or like, maybe you should take a step back, or maybe you should not do this, not do that. It sounds risky. And, but me and Steve just always understood each other. We've always believed in each other. We've always been each other's biggest fan. So it's worked. And, you know, so fast forward to, you know, two years ago, you know, we thought about it, you know, cause we ended up buying a shop together, but both of our, we still have our logos, separate, you know. So I'm First Response, he's Omega, you know, and it was just really cool. I mean, we've come to conventions and people are like, man, you all need to come together. And like, we're eventually, like, we are going to work to that. But we just built two separate empires. You know, and then we're working to bring them together under one roof and just trying to implement that. And we know that we will be more, you know, successful if we can just bundle. But, you know, whenever I go out to quote a pressure washing job, I'm quoting windows and vice versa whenever Kristen goes out. So, I mean, we're practically one company anyways. But, you know, whenever we started the Christmas light business last year, we just weren't prepared. I think in July or June we went, honestly, it all kind of started whenever we went to Sales Boost a couple years ago, and we met JC. JC was sitting behind us, and you know, we got to talking, and he said Christmas lights, and Pat had just started doing Christmas light. Pat Clark, I'm sure he'll see this. Yep. He's amazing, but he's a big big influence for us with Christmas lights, and JC, of course, and all the people at Clippa. But you know, whenever we first got into it, we're like, man, I think we could, you know, really do that. And just kind of right out the gate, we were like, boom, risk. I mean, we both took $7,000. I took $7,000 out of my personal money. He took $7,000 out of his personal money. And we bought like a kit of like $10,000 from Clippa and some odd and stuff, did the LLC, did the whole thing. And we didn't do our first job until like November 18th of last year. And Steve and I, we did, I think we did 32 installs within the 3 weeks. And it was just him and I. You know, and we were just in the trenches together. We spent more time together than with our families. We did the whole gas station food. I mean, you name it, we did it. We had multiple dinners. You know, we were doing installs with headlamps on. You know, it was just an incredible experience, and it really helped us out. You know, we got closer, and we were able to just kind of figure stuff out, because before, like, everything was calculated whenever we were at the firehouse, because, like, you know, we were on the same shift together. So we would just walk loops around the firehouse every day, every shift. And we would just talk about stuff like, what are we struggling with during the week? How can we help each other? And we would just solve all the world's problems while we were at the firehouse. And, you know, and it was kind of, and like you said, it was kind of hard, because in that environment, there was like one or two people that was like, yeah, man, go, you know, cheer. But then there was also people that asked, you know, they're like, you know, it's just different. You know, some people don't understand it, and that's okay. But like you said, it's important to identify that and surround yourself with that tribe, that because I mean, that can really put a dent on your success and on your and your mindset. If you have negativity around you, it can really draw you down. So it's super important to have good people around you. But fast forward to this year, after I got sick, we really kind of had to reevaluate how we were going to do Christmas lights, because I can no longer climb ladders or do anything right now, just because my balance is all jacked up still, and my equilibrium. So I still can't get on ladders. So Steve and I, he kind of told me, it was actually kind of funny, because we did a 5K. It was like my first 5K, because I attempted to do the 5K at the huge convention and I couldn't get through it. But I promised JC, I was like, man, look, I'm going to get you a 5K. I promise you. And I'm going to get you a 5K. And because JC, I mean, through this entire through this entire thing, which you have an amazing man, by the way.
I do.
through this entire thing, JC has been like one of my biggest cheerleaders. You know, he couldn't come visit the hospital. I mean, he checked up on me, sent me some nice stuff, an encouraging message, and you know all that good stuff. But yeah, you know, I told him, I was like, man, I'm gonna get you a 5K. So Steve and I ended up running a 5K, and we were walking in, Ryan, he was like, all right, man. He said, here's what we're going to do for Christmas lights. He was like, sales is your game. He said, you take care of sales. You handle everything from the sales standpoint. I'm going to handle the operations. And we just put systems in place. I mean, we went from having 3 people last year to now we have 14 people this year. Employees, include, you know, all across the board, and we were just ready. I mean, and you know, we're putting the systems in place is super important, and just trusting each other. So, you know, I trust him with the operation side and getting people trained and ready to go. And you know, I trust Kristen and his wife with the scheduling. I mean, she's amazing with that, and they're trusting me with the sales. And and then we have our 2 VAs working with the Christmas lights. So yeah, we're super excited. So just, I guess to wrap it up, I think I've been like full circle here, but, just having that person, whether in life and business, it's just, it truly, truly helps. So
I love the story of the two of you together and you know, how you share, like it started at the firehouse that you had already been through so many of those, you know, trench moments. And that's where you really developed the trust and relationship. In any relationship. So as you had a foundation in business, you had already been through, like you said, so much life and, you know, experiences and trenches that you had that big, strong foundation to explode from, and go through all the things. And we'll talk more about it after the commercial break too, of I love the two visionaries. That's JC and I. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. Definitely you guys have that integrator of Chris in the picture. But that's so fun. That's so fun to have another visionary that you know, believes in that you can keep doing. So we'll dive more into that. I want to hear more about your comeback and story too, but we'll be right back after our first commercial break.
Creating art from darkness. For over 20 years, Cast Lighting has designed and manufactured the world's most durable, energy efficient, and technically advanced landscape lighting products available at astonishingly affordable prices. Cast offers an all-encompassing line of products with everything you need to get the job done. Cast Landscape, their most durable product, is best-in-class, low-voltage landscape lighting made of solid bronze with integrated and drop-in LED technology. These fixtures are built to endure the most demanding environments. Source Lighting, a new division by Cast, is your source for professional grand landscape lighting made of durable brass, offering both integrated and drop-in LED technology and backed by Cast, the world's most durable outdoor lighting. Cast Lighting gives you innovative, state-of-the-art, old-world craftsmanship with tomorrow's technology. Visit their website at cast-lighting.com today. That's cast-lighting.com.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, no one rocks like Turfs Up Radio. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Kress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional operations with the introduction of the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. With the Kress 8-Minute Cyber System, professional landscapers can now replace their messy gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. The 8-Minute Cyber System allows for Kress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less, just enough time for a water break. Complemented by a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information, visit Kress.com. Visit Kress.com. Having issues with your maintenance schedule? Want better routing and ability to track your vehicles when they leave the shop? Do you want to reduce your liability exposure with your vehicles that are moving billboards on the road? GPS Fleet Consulting uses cloud-based dash cam monitoring and can easily track your vehicle maintenance using real odometer readings. GPS Fleet Consulting can also assist you with live phone support and email support with guaranteed same-day responses. Yes, same-day responses. Stop wondering where your trucks are and start managing your fleet with GPS Fleet Management Systems. For more information, visit gpsfleetconsulting.com. That's gpsfleetconsulting.com.
And we're back.
All right.
We could spend the whole show just talking about all the different things that you said about you and Steve. And you can't really tell that you guys do have the same heart and the mission. And you can see that that comes through. Like, it comes through when you talk to you in person. It comes through in everything that I see from you guys. And, you know, that makes the real difference when you can align with someone. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about your bounce back. I kind of came into the whole home service picture in space when that was going on, I guess, or after. And so, yes, I do know about it, but I'd love to just dive into it more from the viewers, because it's, you know, you went through such an experience that you're still such a life-changing experience.
Sure.
Obviously, really, really hard at the time, but you're still dealing with the effects of. But everyone can see how positive you are about it. So there, you know, you could choose to have this victim mentality and have let it got you down. And even though, you know, you're honest and vulnerable that some of the things sucked and exiting the fire department wasn't awesome, that you can tell that you really trusted, like you said, in God's plan. And choosing to be positive about that and what you can still do. So talk a little bit about that and your, just anything you want to share, your mentality, the courage to overcome that and make a comeback, what it was like in it, what it was like getting out of it, who is there for you.
Sure. Yeah. So, so that was just kind of hearing you say that, it was kind of crazy. January of last year, out of nowhere. And, you know, I was in like close to like my best shape of my life. I mean, I've been in better shape, obviously, but I was in really good shape. Nothing, you know, nothing crazy that I did or experienced. But one morning I woke up and just, I had just my fingers and my toes were just tingling really bad. And I had, you know, didn't really know anything about it. It just felt really weird. It felt like I'd slept on my arm wrong or my leg wrong, and it was just numb and tingling. Hop in the shower to try to make it go away, thinking of that. But whenever I did that, it just like intensified it so much, almost like needles were hitting me. It was just like very, it was pretty overwhelming. So honestly, I was driving to work, and I called my captain at the time, and because I was heading to the firehouse, and I called my captain. I said, Cap, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I was like, you know, I'm driving to work. And I was like, man, my hands are tingling. I was like, I still can grip, you know, I still have my grip, but just something's not right. And he was like, well, man, go, like, don't come to work, like, go to the hospital. And I was like, okay. So, I got off the exit and I just drove. And I don't think he really thought that I was just going to drive myself all the way to the hospital. That's what I ended up doing. And to be honest with you, I got there and it was just so odd, because I've dealt with, like I said, my arm going to sleep, foot going to sleep or whatever, and eventually it goes wrong. I've never really dealt with nerve pain or anything like that, so I didn't know what that felt like. I got to the doctor and, you know, they took all my blood work and they said I looked perfectly healthy. They discharged me after about 2 hours. My mom and my girlfriend at the time, now fiance, Mallory, we went to go get some food, and literally I sat there and I like my face was just kind of feeling like starting to tingle, and I was like, well, this is kind of weird. And so I was trying to chew my food, and they kept asking, they were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. I was just like, my lip was kind of tingling. And, but I could still chew and everything was fine at that point. So I went home, and I was just kind of laying in bed, kind of relaxing, cause, I was just kind of super tired. And, And like over the course of like an hour or so, just like my face just started going completely numb. My eyes started watering. It was just super weird. So I called my mom back. Mallory went back to work, called my mom. And I was like, Mom, I said, you may have to come back and get me and take me back to the hospital because something's not right. But I was like, I don't want to go back to that one hospital because they're just going to send me back home. So we went to a completely different hospital and they actually kept me overnight. And what they thought, because at that point, like everything on my right side of my face was completely numb. And so they were just like, okay, like what they thought is at first they were thinking stroke or something like that, but it just didn't make sense that like just one side, but like all four extremities were tingling and numb. So they eventually did some tests, and the next morning the doc came in. He's like, man, I said, we just think you have Bell's palsy and it'll go away. I was kind of scratching my head a little bit just because just being in this fire department and stuff like that and EMS, like I kind of knew that like Bell's palsy just, you know, affects one side, not all four extremities. Mm-hmm. And then literally at that point, like the next day, which I mean, they ended up sending me home as well. And to be honest with you, he kind of had me convinced because I was just like, well, I mean, yeah, everything's tingling, but I still have my grip strength. Everything's still fine. I can still pick up things. I can still walk. Just my face just looked crazy. I mean, I just had zero movement of face. I couldn't smile and I couldn't chew. I couldn't do anything. And so 2 days go by and my shift day is on Sunday. And I ended up going to the firehouse and obviously it wasn't very smart, but I mean, knowing just based off what the doctors told me, you were like, hey, you got Bell's palsy, you know, you're just going to look silly for a little bit, but it'll come back. Like, you know, you can't talk. And, you know, I was talking outside my mouth and I was a company officer, so I had to talk on the radio. So, you know, all the guys at the firehouse, they laughed it up. They thought it was funny because I came in and they just couldn't look at me because I just wasn't myself. Like my entire face was just dead. You know, but I was just like, hey, I'm here. I said, the doctors, you know, and to be fair, like my captain, or, you know, he didn't make me come to work. I chose to come to work because I mean, I truly love being there. And the doctor told me like, hey, I was okay. You just, you know, your face is going to be jacked up for a little bit. Okay, cool. I can live with that. I can still do my job. I just like, you know, people look at me, they may think I'm scary or something for a minute, but yeah. So anyways, I went to work and, we ended up making a fire. But it was like outside, nothing crazy. It was like a out shed. And we got there and I didn't really have to do anything, but I felt right then I knew something was wrong with my body because, I didn't have to do anything. My guys, they kind of went in there, did it. And we were rolling up hoses. And I just remember just rolling up one section of hose. And like my body was just so tired and so worn out, which it wasn't normal for me. And so I truly knew something was going on. So I made sure that I had a doctor's appointment with my primary care doctor the following week. And as soon as I got in there, he was just kind of, you know, like, you know, that little rubber mallet thing that they hit on your legs and see where your things are. So he couldn't find anything on my entire right side of my body, from my arms to my legs, to my feet, even to my face, nothing was reacting. So he called a neurologist immediately. He said, hey, if you can't get him in within 24 hours, I'm just going to go ahead and admit him. He was able to talk to a neurologist and they got me in the following day. And they did, it was called a nerve conduction test. So they put needles pretty much like in my face and my hands and my arms and my legs and just trying to see if they can, you know, they like hit this little pulse thing and it like makes nerves jump because it was going directly into the nerve. Well, my complete right side was dead. He couldn't find anything. And I could kind of see what he was doing. I mean, I didn't really know that it was bad until I could just kind of see him. Like, because him and I, we were talking back and forth. I mean, I was just, it was just a weird situation for me. So I was just trying to make light of it. I was just talking to him, you know, and then all of a sudden he just got silent. And I was like, okay. And he was like, hey, I need you to just kind of be quiet for a minute. I need to do this or do that. And I was like, all right. I was like, so this is kind of getting serious here. And then whenever he got done, he looked at me, he's like, man, he said, I don't know exactly what this is. He said, but if it is what I think it is, he was like, man, it's not good. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just need you to go over here to the emergency room and I just need you to just go. And I was like, okay. And, I was terrified. I was there by myself. Right. And cause I drove myself cause still thought I had, you know, just Bell's palsy. Right. Still tingling, but like I said, everything was still, I could grip. And I mean, I'm not, it's not like I couldn't like feel my feet. They just tingled. So, I mean, I could still gas and brake. And for everybody out there, I wasn't putting nobody's life in danger, I promise. Cause I was still very in control of what I was doing at this point. Just my face was all jacked up. But yeah, I mean, they did that. And so I went to the hospital. I called my mom and I told her, I was like, hey, you know, this is what they're telling me. Of course, she was freaking out. I called Mallory and she was at work. And I said, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know, but this is what it is. And I called Steve. I called my buddy Jeremy. And I just called my little five people. Wow. And I was just like, you know, my people. I called them. And yeah, I mean, everybody kind of came out. But I was sitting there in that waiting room. And I'll be honest with you, like, I had like a moment because I didn't know, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know quite yet how serious it was even at that point. But I just knew it wasn't good. And, you know, if you Google Guillain-Barré syndrome or Guillain-Barré, like there's a bunch of different names for it, but like it's not good. You can't find anything good about it. And so that was kind of freaking me out because the doctor, he told me, he said, whatever you do, like, we don't know how bad it is yet. So he said, just don't Google it. And I was like, that's the very first thing I did when I got my truck is I Googled it. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah. I went to, you know, Google doctor, you know, and I was like, oh man, I was like, this ain't good. Yeah. So I went to the emergency room. I sat there and honestly, I was sitting in the emergency room for like 12 hours before they even got me in a room. But yeah, it was definitely a humbling moment just because I didn't really know, full of emotion. But in order to figure out exactly how bad it was, they had to do a spinal tap on me, which I, you know, they went into the sign and they drew out some protein out of my spine. And like your normal amount of protein fluid or like in your spinal fluid or whichever was like 45, 46 or something. Mine was like 170 something. And so it was like way higher than they had seen. And all the doctors, they came in after the fact and they did indeed tell me, they said, hey, this is bad. You know, pretty much what this is Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's not good. It's very, very serious. What we'll have to do is over the next 10 days, every day for 10 days, we're going to put a direct line. And they put a line through my artery straight to my heart. And every other day for 10 days, they pumped out all my blood. And then they separated the plasma and put new blood back in there and new plasma. So it was very it's very scary, especially for the first time. Well, honestly, for a few times, because they told me that. You know, this was my best shot, but they were like, some people, it doesn't, you know, they reject it, their body doesn't do well, and it's not good. Cause the prognosis, as far as like how long until I was going to be better, the doctors, they were like, look, man, this is very serious. Like, we've never seen this, like in a 31 year old healthy guy like you, like, it doesn't make sense. You know, but I mean, you could be paralyzed. You know, we just don't know. And like through this process, because all your nerves may just completely shut down like it did with my face. There was like, if it gets to your diaphragm and your organs can't work, like you're going to stop breathing. We're going to put you on a machine. And, you know, it's not saying that you're going to die. But I mean, they couldn't even tell me like, hey, man, like you're 100% not going to die or whatever, you know, but they were just saying like, hey, like you're going to have to go on a ventilator if this gets super bad. Well, my first treatment, I had a very bad, very bad allergic reaction to the dye that they put in my body. So I broke out in complete like hives, like my face, my neck, just everything. And they almost shut it down the first time. But I told them, I literally told them, I was just like, hey, if this is my best shot, like I can, like, I'll go through the pain of the hives. Like, if this is my best shot. Yes. And, you know, and they actually let me push through the first night. But my doctor came in the next day. He's like, hey, man, I heard what happened last night. He was like, to be honest with you, like, I commend you for like with that, because I know that was very uncomfortable to get through. But he was like, man, I'm worried about allergic reaction, that it can affect your breathing. And so, like, we can't keep doing this if this happens. And I was like, well, doc, I was like, you told me this is my best shot, man. So, like, this is what we're going to do. And he's like, well, I will give it another shot. The second night, the second treatment, still kind of same thing, but they were able to give me some Benadryl to help it. to kind of get me through, which helped. And then by the third treatment, they kind of had, like, they called it the special cocktail, because they were giving me like so many different medications mixed with Benadryl just to keep that allergic reaction away, because something in my body wasn't vibing with that treatment. So we was able to get through it. But I will tell you, they did tell me on day seven, they said, if you make it past day seven and you're still walking and talking and everything, he's like, I think we're going to be okay. But on day six, I lost ability of my legs. It was, because every day I was getting up, and it was really crazy, because I was on the floor, like ICU. I mean, it was honestly, the nurse told me that, I mean, all the nurses, you know, of course I made friends with everybody there, and I was just like, you know, they were like, it's really truly a breath of fresh air to see somebody like you, you know, walking the halls. Cause as I could walk, I told my friends, I told my nurse, I told everybody, I said, hey, I just want to get up and I just want to move every day. I said, I had my little fancy yellow socks on, because I was a, you know, trip hazard or slip hazard, because I couldn't necessarily walk on my own. But the physical therapist there, and then, you know, my buddy Jeremy, Rock, Mallory, you know, they would all help me get up, and we just take laps around the floor. But then whenever I lost mobility in my legs, it was so odd, because it was such like an outer body experience, because I could see my legs and I could wiggle my toes, but like I couldn't make it all work together. So like getting up, I couldn't move one foot in front of the other barely without having to truly, truly think about every movement. So I was really moving super, super slow. And then eventually I had to have a walker. But I would still like drag my legs. I mean, I know it sounds more graphic than that, but I would have to like kind of move it. But I mean, I felt like 50 pounds were around each ankle. But I was still determined to move. And I truly think, you know, whenever I first got diagnosed and it was happening, I decided to just kind of use my story and, you know, and share it with people, to be honest with you. So, I kind of started sharing my story on Facebook, and I went live one night, and I just kind of told people, but I couldn't keep it in. I was crying, and I was just like, oh man, you know. And that was the one time I got, you know, because I asked my mom and the nurse to just kind of step out for a second. I was just like, I just need a minute to, like, you know, take all this in, because I hadn't had the chance. I mean, I had a team of 8-9 doctors. I had all my family coming in, and just I didn't really have a time to myself to just kind of sit down and be like, yo, man, this is crazy. You know, and I've mentioned this before, because going back to the firehouse, you know, because you, and it really resonates with me, and it's kind of crazy to think about, but like, you know, going into a burning building, like I've already signed my name on that paper. Like I was okay with that, right? Like I was okay with risking my life for somebody if I had to go in, and I was okay with the possibility of not coming out, right? But if something completely out of your control, that there's nothing that you did to cause it, it just happened, and then you're just like, man, this could really be it. And I was just like, you know, I feel like I've been doing good, I'm doing everything, and you're like, man, this is crazy. So I wasn't prepared like mentally for that, just because I was just like, okay, I mean, this could be it. Like my life is getting ready to change drastically. But I had that moment of like, oh, poor me, for just a second. But after that, I was just like, oh man, like we're gonna beat this. Like it's all good. Like God chose this path for me for whatever reason. And I mean, now honestly, I truly believe like I found that purpose in that, because it's because, you know, just sharing my story with people throughout that process, and while I was in the hospital every day documenting, and like as I'm getting better, like my smile is getting better, and just sharing that. I mean, there were so many people that reached out to me. There's like hundreds and hundreds of people from all across the United States, from just different people that I've met through Clippa, and, you know, just through Pat and JC, and just like any time that I go to these events, people that, you know, that I'm friends with on Facebook, they follow my journey. And there was just like people that are just like, man, you changed my life. And I was just like, it's crazy. I was just sharing, but truly like those people, you know, and God is what got me through. And like my small tribe that was there with me every single day, you know, Mallory, she was there with me every single day. My buddy Jeremy, Steve, I mean, he sit there and watch me. He was right there bedside with me during my treatments. I mean, and it was crazy, because I look like a ghost laying in there. Like I was lifeless, you know? so and then just having people, sorry.
No, how you used for, like that you chose, you were in that moment, but then, you know, you chose to be vulnerable and share it with everyone and be so vulnerable in the middle of the experience, which I know touched so many people. And JC made a comment, Spencer, tell them about your card that I sent. So that. And we have to take another commercial break really quick. Okay. But we'll get to that comment and kind of the other side of coming back from this, that you are have such a powerful story, Spencer.
Cool.
And you told it in really, you know, such a raw way of the feeling of going through it and that decision and what it felt like. So we're going to wrap it up when we come back from this final commercial break.
All right.
Have you considered artificial turf? It's great for areas with high precipitation, which means no mud after a heavy rain and no more mowing wet grass. Today's artificial turf is made using recycled materials and helps to reduce water consumption in areas of drought. Turf Envy's artificial turf is constructed of quality raw materials, safe for pets, humans, and our environment. With decades of experience, our staff can help with support, training, and product education to give you confidence when estimating a project for a potential customer. Learn more at turfenvyusa.com today.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Hey everybody, Wayne Vohs, The Prophet, your host of Prophet Time here on Turfs Up Radio. If you listen to my show, you know I'm all about profit. As an industry, profit is something we fail to meet most of the time. If you're working hard but not seeing the results that you deserve, Profits Unlimited is here to help. We offer processes and systems designed specifically to make your company more successful, more profitable, and certainly more efficient. When you're ready to take your company to the next level, reach out to me at profitsareus.com. That's profitsareus.com. And don't forget to turn into Profit Time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m.
Are you a military family with a spouse on deployment away from home? Did you know that nonprofit Project Evergreen has thousands of volunteers across the country ready to help military families with lawn, landscape, and snow removal services? We call it Green Care and Snow Care for troops. If you are a military family and would like to receive this free service, or if you'd like to volunteer to help, visit projectevergreen.org. Project Evergreen, creating a greener, healthier, cooler earth, one yard at a time.
Busy work burning you out? Kick it to the curb and do more of what you love. How? With Landscape Management Network, to spend less time creating estimates, tracking crews, doing job costing, managing invoices and payroll, and more. FYI, the average LMN contractor spends 50% less time doing payroll, increases profits, and lands more jobs. Put an end to burnout. Visit GoLMN.com/TurfsUp. That's GoLMN.com/TurfsUp to get started.
And we're back. We could go forever and make this a multi-episode thing. So I'll have to have you back on to talk about some business stuff, because your story, like I said, is so, so powerful. And if people would meet you, like, they would have no idea. I mean, I can't say enough. You're one of the most positive people I know that just shines that and is contagious. And, you know, you had to make a decision to get through this with that attitude and still be like this. And you chose to flip that switch to, you know, to not just like, why did this happen to me? And the victim mentality, because you certainly could have, and instead used it in the middle of it as a vehicle to touch so many people's lives. So as we wrap up, you know, kind of talk a little bit about this, and then, you know, how you've, I know you're still, like you said, can't get on a ladder. So how you've really come back from it.
Yeah. So, so honestly, like true, the, you know, the mindset that I have is obviously from, which I'm sure everybody knows who Ed Mylett is, but he's like one of my most favorite human beings on the planet. So, but, you know, he has a quote that says, everything happens for us, not to us. And I just truly use that. You know, and I was just like, you know, how can I use this? And, you know, this happened for me, not to me, to open up my mind, to open up my heart, to just, you know, to just have another chance of life and just, you know, and use that, you know, and obviously it happened for me, not to me. You know, I mean, even though it closed the chapter on the firehouse, it's opened the ability in business to pursue that and to grow that and provide more impact to people and change more lives. And that's just truly what I'm kind of here to do. And I feel like that's what I was put on this earth to do. And, you know, and I appreciate your kind words. It's really, it's very, very sweet. And, you know, and I do appreciate it. And because, you know, a lot of times whenever you're just in the day-to-day of your life. And, you know, everybody kind of has that lane that they're in, you know, they're just trying to accomplish and do things and do this. And so there's a lot of people that just kind of get lost in that, as far as they become different people, which obviously I know that there's different levels to the game and you have to become a different, sometimes you become not necessarily a different person, but you may become a different person in people's eyes because, you know, maybe you're not as available as you once were because, you know, your focus is in different areas. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person or you forgot that person or whatever. But I truly struggled with that, like while I was in business, because there was a lot of people in different friendships and different relationships, you know, that like they didn't necessarily like that person of me. And it wasn't nothing that I necessarily changed. I was just trying to build something different. So when this happened to me, it truly opened my eyes to what truly matters. And, that, you know, that you have a clean slate and, you know, the people that you worry about so much about, you know, that, you know, at the end of the day, like you were worried so much about what they were doing and what they were saying and what they're, you know, all this, that whenever you were, you know, laying in a hospital bed, all those people that you're worried about weren't there. You know what I mean? So it truly opened my eyes to that. So like, I think whenever you experience different things or trouble or heartache or what you know, you go through something so significantly, it should just realign like your vision to life and just really prioritize things that you wanted to do. So like, you know, now I'm able to focus more on the company and just and enjoying life. So it really opened my eyes to that. And, you know, as far as like what I'm still kind of experiencing through that, yeah, I mean, I can't necessarily get on a ladder. You know, I still deal with a lot of things that people probably don't even, you know, know. You know, so I still have neuropathy mostly at night. And then it takes me about 5 to 10 minutes to get my bearings in the morning as far as my balance, because I don't know if it's from whenever I'm laying on my back and I just go to sit up, like my world spins for about 5 to 10 minutes. I just kind of have to relax a little bit, or if I am walking, I have to keep my hands on things. But once I'm like aligned and ready to go, then I'm okay. But I'm just truly still living with that. And truly, I just got back in the gym. Probably, I mean, I've been in the gym off and on, but true like training for the past month. Just because I was living in fear, because my doctor still considered me even now high risk until January, until they do another reassessment. And I kind of asked my doc and I was like, man, I said, you got to kind of tell me what's your thought as far as like what's high risk. And he was like, well, he was like, I, you know, this can still come back and you can still, you could have a stroke. You could, you know, all this could literally come back. We don't know. It's such an anomaly. You're like a miracle baby. Like you should never be doing what you're doing. And I kind of told Doc, I was like, man, I said, I got to get back in the gym. I got to get back to living my life. And, you know, whatever happens is in God's hands anyways. If God sees fit that I have a stroke or do whatever the case may be, like, I'm good with it. But I need to make sure that my body is physically ready for that again, because I truly believe that not only my faith and not only my important friends and just everybody that was there for me and praying for me, but, like, my physical, like, strength that I was in is what caused me to be as good as I am now. Yeah. You know, so I'm back in the gym, I'm training hard, I'm eating right, because there for a while I was kind of like, not necessarily like poor me, but I was like, man, I'm gonna enjoy this ice cream today, you know, because I was like, I there was almost an opportunity I didn't get to eat ice cream again, you know. So, and I kind of got carried away a little bit with that, with eating pizza and ice cream a little bit too many times a week. So I was kind of getting a little hefty there, but I'm down 10 pounds and I'm back on my stuff. So it's good. But yeah, it's a crazy experience. But honestly, I'm truly grateful for it. If I could go back and say, please, God, don't let that happen to me, I would say, bring it to me. You know, and like my, you know, my mom, bless her heart, she was just, she's every day, she'd tell me, she's like, I wish it was me. I was like, Mom, I said, to be honest with you, I was like, I'm glad it was me and not you, because I don't think, like, she is so strong, and like, I wouldn't be the man I am today without her, but like, I wouldn't have been able to take it if it was my mom, you know, like, it would have mentally put me in a dirt, like, way worse than what it did to me. So I was just, you know, I was just like, I'm thankful that it never happened to anybody else. I would never wish it on anybody, because it was awful. And I don't, I just think if you truly don't have the mindset cut out for it, like, cut out for anything, you know, like, and that's why it's so important to take care of your mind, your body, your spirit, everything. Just take care of that. And that's one thing that I, you know, that's my one thing to everybody. You know, as far as being uncomfortable, take care of your mind, take care of your body, take care of your spirit, and just take care of the people that are around you and are in your tribe. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Take care of those people and just truly take care of yourself. And yeah, I mean, most importantly, take care of this up here. Because when shit hits the fan, you know, this is really all you got. You got one choice. It's fight or flight. And you got it. You got to fight. You know, you just got to fight in life and business, for relationships at all. You just got to fight. So be sure your mind is good.
So. I can't close it out any better than that. Usually the thing I told you about, but yeah. That was a pretty good closing reel there, Spencer. Yeah. So
appreciate it.
That was great advice. And yeah. I will just echo with that. I mean, because that was all perfect. I hope the viewers all take that and take that to heart. And your Ed Milet of, you know, things don't happen to us, they happen for us. And
absolutely.
If you can really live by that and look at the opportunities and why they are, and, you know, you just did that so well of, sure. I think that, you know, God gives the tests to people that, he has the greatest in store and in plan for, and he sure. needed to, I mean, it sucked what you went through. And yeah. we hate to think that we had to go through things like that, but you said it gave you a clean slate without that. And, you know, we need to think of that in life moments of what am I supposed to do with this? Like, this cleared things out, cleared the muddy waters, so that you really could be more aligned with your vision. And,
absolutely.
You know, you use that, and you can see that really shines through. So we are out of time, but Spencer, thank you so much. Not just for being on and sharing with the audience, but for sharing in such an impactful and vulnerable way.
Of course. Thank you so much. Like, it means a lot for the opportunity. So thank you.
Absolutely. And like I said, we'll have you on here again, because we can talk about so much. And I did want to talk about Janine. Spencer has an incredible virtual assistant from our team.
I do.
With me a long time, and I say there are, when I give some people away, I feel like the perfect people were put in my life, and I knew, I was just like, I'll take care of my special. They're all special.
Yeah, of course.
But which, they're the special people. So
absolutely. Yeah. Which we have May, you know, in the Christmas lights, which, I mean, I know she works with Steve, but yep. May is amazing as well. So you're definitely doing amazing things over there, and you bring quality people. So if anybody needs a virtual assistant, get with Angela. She's amazing. So
thank you. Yeah. So thanks again, Steve. Thanks for all of you who are joining us on Turf Step Radio and on Facebook. Have an incredible week. Don't forget to pick one thing this week to get uncomfortable. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you.